Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at denverfan.com. Presented by Siltahar Motors. The car buying experience is as easy as call, click, or come in at Siltahar Motors. Get upfront trade value with one call. Research and compare vehicles at sthmotors.com. Or come in and ask for Greg Larson and get $500 off any purchase. Siltahar Motors. Easy to find and conveniently located right off Highway 36 in Wadsworth. Siltahar Motors. Get everything you want out of a dealership.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story.
Time now for the DenverFan.com front page.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
Taking a look at the top stories in Denver sports taken from your online home for the best opinions and information on the Broncos, Nuggets, Avalanche, Rockies, and more.
What in the name of Dan Issel?
With today's DenverFan.com front page, here's Schlereth and Evans.
News team, assemble!
In front of Adam Schefter, who will join us hopefully with a shirt on here in about 10 minutes. At DenverFan.com, we have the front page. We have Andrew Mason writing about Draymond Jones as a core player, but what is his future with the Broncos? It was Mace who was in the locker room yesterday talking to Draymond Jones and answering Mace's question that, do we have the clip again? Just play it? In which he was asked about his future with the Broncos, and he says, well, I'm a Bronco right now. I'm here right now.
Let's listen to it
real quick.
I view my standing with the franchise as this is a Drake going to year four. That's all I can say.
Do you want to stay here? Do you want to be here long-term and be a part of this?
I'm here right now.
Cool. I view my standing with the franchise. First of all, anytime a player calls the team the franchise, that's like Josh McDaniels calling Jay Cutler the quarterback. That's not good. I mean, this is Dre going into year four. When they start talking about themselves in the third person, another red flag. And I'm here right now.
I'm here right now.
What's going on?
This is where the rookie wage scale, you know, and the rookie contracts and stuff, this is where the NFL, the Players Association, completely got this thing wrong. But from an NFL standpoint, if you don't reward a guy in year three that has earned it, and again, this is one of those reasons why it's better pay a guy a year early than wait until, because you're going to end up paying top. If you want him, I guess you could franchise tag him, right? You still have a franchise tag available, so you could franchise tag him. But certainly, that does not sound like a happy camper right there, does it? He sounds like the business of football has weighed him down a bit.
This is a crucial moment right now for George Payton, because when we heard Justin Simmons the other day talk about guys, don't worry, guys are going to be motivated for the rest of the season because they've got contracts and second contracts and third contracts to play for. I brought it up at the time. Hey, whoa, that concerns me a bit. That's a bit of a red flag, because that brings to mind what you've always talked about. You do not want to get to a part of a season where guys are thinking just as independent contractors. And when I hear Simmons talk like that, I start thinking about independent contractors. When I hear Draymond Jones talk about that, I hear about independent contractors. And if the idea was, and I didn't like the Bradley Chubb trade, but if the idea was, hey, Mike, you got to choose between Bradley Chubb or Draymond Jones because we're clearly going to pay Draymond Jones. If you don't pay Draymond Jones, George Payton's in danger of losing that room.
I don't think.
And who's going to want to come here and sign here?
I don't think that they're going to allow Draymond Jones to get out of here. Now, does that mean right now you're hammering out a new contract and paying him, you know, you didn't want to pay Bradley Chubb the going freight. You're going to pay him the go. Like, I don't know what the going freight is for a top-notch, you know, defensive tackle slash end, you know, that hybrid 3-4, 5-down front kind of that everybody is playing right now. What's the going rate for those guys?
Well, take me inside the whole player-team negotiations. You've gone through it. You've seen it. Other players going through it. When I hear Draymond Jones talk like that, what I'm hearing is that his agent, well aware of everything you're saying, it's year four, let's get a deal worked out, let's go, that they have had negotiations, and they're far apart.
Right.
That's the only thing that explains Draymond Jones with those kind of comments.
If you were going to get him signed, you should have gotten him signed before the season started. You know, in training camp or in the off season or whatever it was before he got into year four. Now with 9 games left, Mike, and you've put what you've put on tape. Like, if I'm his agent, like, there's a gamble, a risk reward there. Going, hey, listen now, you're about ready to hit the generational for the next 3 generations money. That's about what you're ready to hit. So, do you want to play that out?
And by the way, earlier this morning, we kicked off the What Does the Film Say segment in which you went back, looked at the Broncos' run defense against Travis Etienne and how it shapes up for Derrick Henry this weekend. And I asked you to use one word to describe Draymond Jones on film, and you said,
dominant.
Okay, George Payton, your move.
He's a dominant player.
Your move.
He is a really good player.
At DenverFan.com. Jake Shapiro writing about wristband gate. Russell Wilson firing back at Pete Carroll. Is this thing now a thing? I mean, is this a thing to the point where, you know how TV crews get ready for a broadcast?
Sure.
I don't know who's calling the game this weekend, but is that going to be the storyline right off the bat? Are we going to be having close-up looks at Russell Wilson's wrist to see if he's wearing a wristband?
You know it.
You'd be doing that, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, the storyline of what does it mean? You know, what is it? What benefits are there? What's the drawback? Why? Why have you not worn one in the past? I mean, there's all those questions going to be asked. You know, and the overall message coming out of Seattle, it just is like, hey, listen, man, I know that Russ is, it can be quirky or whatever. But I still think he's a really hard worker. I think some of the things that you know, eventually slip out, or, you know, the whole, hey, everybody else was conked out, but I was over there doing high knees and stuff. You know, kind of the roll your eye of moments and things that are perceived to be throwing teammates in. But I don't believe any of that stuff is, you know, I don't believe any of that stuff is him trying to, you know, diminish guys around him. He's always so supportive of everybody. I just think it's one of those things where he's just kind of awkward.
Maybe you, whoever you are, I'm talking to you listening, maybe you don't care about what the rest of the country thinks about Denver sports, athletes, teams, whatever. It bothered me, and I think it bothered a lot of people, how the national media perceived Nikola Jokic last couple of years in the MVP talk. It bugs me when the Broncos and Russell Wilson are held up as a joke. For what's gone on this year. And ESPN this morning, they were touting wristband gate.
Sure.
They were asking who won the Russell Wilson trade. And then they put up a graphic that had Geno Smith versus Russell Wilson. Tail the tape. Completion percentage. Geno Smith first in the league. Russell 30th. Total QBR. Geno Smith fourth. Russ 28th. TD to interception ratio. Geno Smith, fourth. Russell Wilson, 25th.
Yeah.
I don't know. Just that.
Tell the tape. You just answer your own question. It's.
Oh, I know.
It's not even close.
It's not even close who won it right now.
Right now. Still early.
Still early.
Probably still a little bit too early for victory laps.
I still think that the clock's going to strike midnight for Geno Smith.
I don't know, man. He's playing really.
I know, but
they're balanced. They're playing. They're old school. He's playing really, really good. He's got a couple of young offensive linemen. They're playing great. We'll see. But I think they're pretty damn good.
Speaking of those troublemakers at USC, ESPN.
I have Adam Schefter from ESPN on the line. He heard a rumor.
Oh, great. Tell Schefter to stick his rumor up.
Sonny.
Where was I thinking about USC right there? I don't know. But Adam Schefter, our NFL ESPN insider, joins us courtesy of Bet Rivers Sportsbook. Yeah, you troublemakers at ESPN. What's wrong with you guys?
It's always us. It's always our fault, you know, and the way it goes sometimes. How you guys doing, right?
We're doing great. We're doing great. I guess I got to start off with...
got to address what happened on Monday night. The shirt,
there's
no show. Oh, like, yeah.
There's a backstory, of course, right? Like, we have a Zoom meeting at 2:00 Eastern every week to go over the commandments, and our great producer Matt Garrett. I don't know if you worked with him at all, Stink, but great guy. he wanted Robert Griffin III as a Kirk Cousins' former teammate to do the command man of Kirk Cousins on the plane, going home, taking off his shirt, wearing the jewelry, doing a little dance. And so I remembered back in the day, maybe 10 years ago, Stevie Johnson, the former Bills receiver, caught a touchdown pass, came to the podium in a white tank top after the game. And it was like, what are you doing like that? And that was the final come on man of Monday Night Countdown. They came back on camera, and there was Chris Carter wearing the same white tank top that Stevie Johnson wore, berating him for wearing something like that in such a high-profile spot after such a big game. So when this topic came up, and Matt Garrett wanted RG3 to do this topic, I said, well, Robert, you got to take off your shirt and wear the chains. And he's like, ah, yeah, I don't know. My wife's not going to like that. I don't know that I could do that. I'm like, I just think it'd be great. Okay, leave it at that. Well, we get in the car to go to the Dome, like 3 o'clock, an hour later. And I said to Matt Garrett, I'm like, if Robert won't do it, I'd think about doing it. And he goes, whoa, you think about doing it? I said, let me think. Let me call my boss. Let me call Seth Markman, see what he thinks. And he says, like, I don't know. He goes, ask the driver, Denzel, young production assistant, 23-year-old kid. I go, Denzel, what do you think? He goes, you got to do it. I'm like, really? He said, yeah. I said, let me call my wife, because she's usually got a pretty good gauge of these things. I go, what do you think? She's hysterical laughing. She's like, you have to do it. I'm like, okay, now, I know I'm doing it, and I got to tell you something. Like, I'm uneasy about it. I'm going back and forth. I don't know whether I should do it the whole time. We do the commands. I do the first one. I start taking off my shirt. I notice everyone in the Superdome field, they got, like, this band. Everybody's looking at me. I go, this is not good. This is not good. And, you know, you did it, and you don't, I mean, honestly, you don't think, you don't think about the after effects, but now I notice, you know, I'll do a tweet and people are, yeah, I'm going to listen to you, some topless guy. Now, the good thing is we have a Monday night game in Philadelphia this week. It's supposed to be 38 degrees, so I'm going to be leaving my shirt on this weekend going forward.
Adam, I got to tell you,
yeah,
you're my hero. I loved it. That was all balls, man. That was just onions, double order. I loved it. I thought it was great.
You know what? Let me say this. Again, you never know what the reaction is going to be. You just never know. But I got a lot of texts afterwards from a lot of people in all walks of life. And one of the guys texted me. He goes, one of my mentors always told me, take your job seriously, but don't take yourself too seriously. And I take my job as serious as anybody could take their job. So to laugh every now and then and have a little fun, why not?
I'm with Mike. I loved it. Plus, one, you look pretty yoked, man. You've been working out. You look pretty good. Did you do some push-ups before you got on camera? And two, in Philly, man, go pantless. I think that's where I'm going. Go without pants,
you know,
in
Steve,
Philly.
I got a great postscript to this story that I haven't told anywhere. I haven't told anybody. So when the rest of the crew found out I was taking my shirt off, Booger's like, oh, my God. He's going to be taking it. That guy, that meek, weak guy, and Matt Garrett, defending, he's like, Shefty can do a lot of push-ups. And Booger goes, no, he can't. And Matt Garrett goes, I'll bet you money right now that he can do 50 push-ups on the spot. 50. And Booger goes, $100 he can't. And so they bet $100. We get up the field after taking my shirt off. We get inside the truck, and they tell me of their bet. I immediately go to the ground and rip off 50 straight push-ups, in which Booger paid my producer, Matt Garrett, $100.
I love the fact that they're betting on you, and you're the one that has to pay off the bet, and you get nothing out of it, other than you got a little exercise.
Matt Garrett told me I'll split the money with you, and he did.
Oh, look at you. Way to go, Shefty. Way to go.
Made 50 for 50 push-ups.
There you go. A dollar a push-up.
You're winning,
how
man.
You gonna go wrong?
You're just winning.
Yeah, you're just winning at life.
Out winning.
Hey, speaking of winners, our former colleague, winner, chicken dinner, Jeff Saturday, great press conference the other day.
How about that?
Really just absolutely dominated and owned the press conference. How surprised were you? And how did this, do you know how this, the inside story and how all this went down?
Yeah, basically I got a call, you know, another funny little story. So I usually fly out after Sunday Countdown, Sunday afternoon, and I've had such bad travel luck where I get on a flight and there's no TV and there's no Wi-Fi, and I'm like, I can't take this anymore. Like, you're flying during the games. You have no idea what's going on. It's just brutal. So a couple of weeks ago, I switched as many of my remaining flights as I could to Monday morning. Now, my concern always has been that I would be on a flight on a Monday morning when there was a head coach getting fired or some big news story. Like, that's always been my concern. Well, I get to the airport on Monday morning, about 6:30 in the morning, and I start getting some weird, ambiguous texts. Like, I need to start checking on Indianapolis. And I'm like, oh, here we go. God damn. And I board the flight, 7:45. We take off 8:20. I could tell that Frank Reich is going to get fired. I could tell that Jeff Saturday's in play, but I can't get confirmation of everything. And so I spent, of course, 2.5 hours flying to New Orleans, unable to make any phone calls. I did have TV on the flight, of course, when you don't need it. And I was able to text with people, and as soon as we landed, was able to report that Frank Reich officially had been fired. And a short time later, we were able to pin down that Jeff Saturday was being named interim coach. And it began, essentially, I think, look, he had been a consultant for that team. Like, him and Jim Irsay were talking all the time. So it's not like this came out of nowhere, even though most people think it did. And Jeff Saturday said yesterday during the game, or during the press conference, that Jim Irsay called him during the game on Sunday and began discussing this possibility with him and wanted him to think about it. And so I think it just is one of those things where Jim Irsay wanted to go to a guy that he knows, trusts, believes in, that bleeds the horseshoe blue. And look, there were people that laughed when Steve Kerr left the broadcasting booth to go coach basketball. There were people that laughed when John Lynch left the booth to go be a GM for the 49ers. There are people that are laughing at Jeff Saturday. And let me say this. I have no idea how he's going to fare as a coach. As a human being, like Stink, he's an A. He's an A. And A people do great things wherever they go. And so I believe in Jeff Saturday. It may not work out there, but the man has got a tremendous amount of character. He's a great guy. He's a leader of men. He's the kind of guy you would want leading your football team. And now we'll find out if he can coach. I have no idea.
Visit with Adam Schefter. Adam P. Carroll. Petty when it comes to his thinly veiled shots at Russell Wilson, or does he deserve the right to take a victory lap right now?
You know, maybe I'm being naive, but I don't think that Pete is that kind of way publicly. Like, he's such a positive, upbeat guy. I mean, Stink, you think he's taking public shots on purpose at Russell? You tell me.
I think that it has been this way. There's been so much frustration over the course of time over the last several years that there is, and he has been a guy that has been scrutinized locally for not letting Russ cook and not letting Russ out. And you know, and so I don't know that he is intentionally pointing the finger at Russ as much as he is saying, hey man, like, bottom line, we were right. Like, my way works.
I think he's just speaking the truth. Like, hey, listen, I wanted to, you know, them to wear. I don't think it's a victory. I don't think he needs, at his age, with his resume, to go take a victory lap. Maybe I'm wrong, right? But that guy, you know, having spent some time with, he's so relentlessly positive and upbeat and above the fray on a lot of this stuff. So I just think he's probably pointing out the truth. And if the truth stays, well, that's the way it is.
Yeah, I don't doubt that. I think that it's gotten under Russ's skin a little bit, and you know, Russ kind of clapped back a little bit. But you know, what do you make of Russ not wanting to wear the wristband, and then he wore it against Jacksonville? I mean, that at least it feels like progress here in Denver.
Well, hey, look, they won the game. That's all that really matters, right? And they need to find a way to string together some victories to quiet the noise, whether it's wearing wristbands or not. I might wear a wristband for Sunday show with an outline of the show segments on my wrist on Sunday to kind of juice things up. You know, we've been a little off the last couple of weeks. Mort and I want to make sure we're on point this Sunday. So I'll be wearing my wristband with the segment orders on Sunday.
Adam, you just went on national TV in front of thousands of people in the New Orleans Superdome and millions more on TV wearing no shirt and chains. I'd say at this point, there's nothing you can't take on. There is nothing. Well, your confidence should be at an all-time high right now. Do this? Sure. Why not?
I appreciate the vote of confidence. So, you know, again, So maybe you wear a wristband, no shirt. Maybe you wear a wristband, no pants.
Yes.
It just depends on what you're feeling at that moment.
You're just looking for an excuse to take clothes off, which I respect.
I do.
I think this is awesome as well. A couple other quick NFL notes. Level of concern in Buffalo right now over Josh Allen's elbow. 1 through 10.
Well, I would say a 5 because I don't think right now it's a long-term injury, but it still is one of the preeminent players in the sport, an MVP candidate, the guy that you cannot win the division or secure home field advantage or go to the Super Bowl without. He's got an elbow injury. I'm just guessing here. I don't know this. He thinks he can play Sunday. I have a feeling he's not going to play Sunday. Just a guess by the fact that he didn't practice yesterday. I have a feeling he misses a game, and they assess him next week and see where he's at. Look, he had the injury his rookie year. Here's what we know. He had the injury his rookie year. He missed 4 games. It's not considered as bad as that injury his rookie year. We also know, even though Sean McDermott is saying he's day-to-day, he didn't practice yesterday, the first day of Wednesday. And we know that Case Keenum would be the backup. So I think that they can say, Case, we need you for a week here. Let Josh's elbow calm down. Go play your former team from Minnesota. Go get us a W. And let's reassess where our MVP is at this time next week. Just a guess.
Last one. Is Aaron Rodgers actually playing for his job over the next couple weeks?
I've heard a lot of that chatter and speculation. I don't believe that to be true. I mean, I don't believe that to be true. Do you think that they would bench Aaron Rodgers? I don't believe. If that happens, that would floor me. It would just floor me. And I don't care how much they keep losing, and I don't care how much he's struggling. If they bench their $50 million+ a year, I would be floored. Floored.
As would I. It would be almost like benching Matt Ryan because you can't block anybody. Oh wait, that happened.
No, it's different. Matt Ryan was new on the scene in Indianapolis. The offense was woeful, as Green Bay's has been. But I mean, you know what? It would have been like, you know, it would be like benching Elway at the end of his career in Denver. I just don't see it.
You got to understand, Adam. You got to understand where that's coming from with Stink. He's very defensive because I said that Matt Ryan was washed, and he's having a very hard time admitting that I was right.
And you're not right. You're not ready. Everybody is washed when you can't block. Ask Matthew Stafford. All right, Adam, we're going to let you roll, but we appreciate you, buddy. And shirtless is the way to go.
Where are you this week?
I've got Pittsburgh, New Orleans in Pittsburgh.
I like
it. One of my favorite NFL cities to visit, Pittsburgh.
It's a great underrated city.
It really is. Really. Yeah,
it's a really pretty city. The fans are passionate. Good stadium. I mean, convenient downtown, whole thing. It just works.
Real good local food, cuisine, good. Yeah, I'm a big Steelers and big Pittsburgh fan.
Last thought, Adam, real quick, because you look good. I give you credit because the TV,
it's getting uncomfortable.
The TV, you know, adds 10 pounds. You look good without the sheriff. But let me ask you something. Be honest with me. Just us three guys. You've been doing a few extra crunches every day, haven't you? Just in case. Come on.
100% not.
Oh.
I had no idea that was going to happen.
But since then?
No.
No?
I'm going to be 56 years old next month. I'm a guy that has always tried to stay in shape. I wouldn't say I'm in as good a shape as a lot of people, but I'm not in as bad a shape as some people.
No?
Right in the middle, and I'm holding my own. And again, I had no idea what the reaction. I wish I were in better shape, to be perfectly frank. I have been in better shape at various points in my life. But I still can do push-ups and sit-ups.
Yes. Anybody reach out to you about potentially like Calvin Klein being an underpants model or anything like that?
You know, that stink.
Yeah.
I got to be honest with you.
Uh-huh.
No.
No.
Thank you, Adam.
Thanks, Adam.
But stink, if you want to tweet that and put it on people's attention radar, I'm all happy. I'm down with that.
Yeah, okay, great. Uh-huh. Yeah. I like You'll it. Take some Calvin Adam Klein Schefter, money. I love it.
Adam Schefter, our NFL ESPN insider and underwear, future underwear model. I like it. Thank you, Adam.
Thanks, guys.
Adam is presented, as always, by Bet Rivers Sportsbook. Coming up next, what does the film say? New segment we debuted today, getting rave reviews. Share it with you next.
You're going to need a bigger boat. It's time for Schlereth and Evans' Big Story of the Day.
What? It's just that you're so big.
Here's Schlereth and Evans with this morning's biggest story in Denver sports.
Big means big. Big, huge.
Nothing bigger than this game coming up on Sunday for the Broncos. The whole season rests on it. It is a must win because whatever momentum that you built, not only from the Jacksonville game, but there's always something about the bye week that is it's a great sense of exhale, reset, re-cleanse, and let's really move forward. So I think that there's a real positive attitude, atmosphere around the Broncos right now moving forward. You gotta pay it forward by getting a win this Sunday. So, in order to get a win on Sunday, means you better have a plan for Derrick Henry. We kicked off a new segment today called What Does the Film Say? Because nobody, God, I hate doing this. I hate pumping up your tires, but I'm going to do it. Nobody in this town has the access and puts the time in to studying the film like you do, Mark Schlereth.
Ugh. Choke off the bile.
Makes you want to vomit a little bit, right? Creep up my throat right now.
Right.
Okay.
I don't blame you.
Bile back down. But no, in all honesty, you do an amazing job. And it was one of those things, because you'd always, during breaks, you'd have your Exos Thundercloud.
Yes, I would do that.
You'd call me over. Hey, come take a look at this. Look at this play. Look at where Russ is. You know, Russ is looking this way, but KJ Hamler's over here. He could have seen it if only he'd come back over to a second look.
Right.
So anyway, I said, all right, well, let's share this with all the peeps out there.
Mm-hmm.
So, gave you an assignment. What does the film say when you look at the Broncos' last game against Jacksonville? Travis Etienne went for 24 carries, 156 yards, 6.5 yards per carry. Pretty impressive numbers. So I wanted you to break down the Broncos' run defense as we get set to look forward to Derrick Henry. So what'd you see?
Yeah, listen, one thing that you're going to get with the Broncos, man, they're going to play that shell defense, and they're going to be really, like, really good up front. And I thought, for the most part, those numbers don't tell the whole story. Now, there was one, I'm trying to look right now, I don't know when he had the breakout run. He had a breakout run of about 50-plus yards. And, you know, he had an early 15-yard run and you know, a couple 7-yard runs, those type of things. But for the most part, when you look at, you know, up the middle 3 yards, up the middle minus one, up the middle zero, up the middle one, up the, you know, and then all of a sudden he had some six and some sevens and a 12 and a 15 or whatever. But he had the one breakout run that was like 50 yards, maybe 50 plus yards, whatever it was. So what I came away with thinking is one, we got a couple guys up front that are an absolute nightmare when it comes to defending the run. They are great. DJ Jones, just like one of the very first plays of the game, they ran a wham on DJ Jones. And a wham is all you're from the outside in. Okay, so a tight end, let's say a tight end is lined up on the right-hand side, right? And so he goes short motion into the formation, and all of a sudden, whoever DJ was on, whether it's the center or the guard, he fakes him, right, boom, tries to catch his eyes, and he goes out to get a linebacker, second-level guy, and here comes that tight end to ear-hole you. And you have to have a great feel. Like, you have to, one, to be able to defend that, you have to have a great feel that what this guard is doing to me right now, he's not trying to block me, so something's coming from somewhere, right? And instantly, you already know that they're in a right-handed formation or a left-handed formation, so you know where that guy's coming from. So they run the very first play that way, and DJ Jones feels that feeling that this is not right, like a screen. Like, you could feel that, hey, wait a minute, this guy would never just let me beat him on a pass rush move like this unless something else was coming. You stop your rush and you try to defend the screen. It's exactly what DJ Jones did. I mean, he flipped his head around and took on that tight end and about shortened his neck. I mean, just boom. And then makes a tackle. And I was like, wow, that's really, like, great awareness. Also, great physicality. There's a couple times with double teams where he's got offensive lineman, one of them stuck with his right hand, like a hand in the chest, and just stands the guy up, and the other hand with the left hand standing to do like almost like a cartoon where he's going to slam his helmets together, you know, ting, and then make a tackle. And he's just like letting linebackers roam free, letting them just run around. So he did that.
This is Aaron Donald type stuff.
Well, from a run standpoint, Aaron Donald is such a penetrator and stuff. And Aaron Donald's got that kind of strength. But, this is really good. Like, really good stuff. And then Draymond Jones is not only, reading what the blocking scheme and attacking people that are trying to get him and understanding where the play is going, but dominating people, dominating double teams, just ragdolling, like absolutely ragdolling people, throwing them on the ground, and then having the athleticism and the quick twitch to throw a dude, defeat a block, throw him on the ground, and then bam, explode and make a tackle for no gain or 1 yard or even minus yardage. Like, he's dominating, and they're allowing their linebackers to run free. Like I said, the one big run, and I can't remember exactly where it was in the game, but the one, well, actually, you know what? I've got it. Hold on. Let me look at this. It was, I didn't chart it, but it had to be fairly early. Wait a minute. I did chart it. 10:48 in the second quarter. Look at this.
Folks, he's going to the Exos Thundercloud as we speak.
No, wait a minute.
No,
I'm not going
there. This is next level. Oh,
No. I'm not going there, but I could go there. 10:48. Oh, there it is. 49 yards. That was it. 49 yards. Left end. So on that particular play, it was a second down and 10 play. On that particular play, they had been running some mid-zone, read zone stuff. You know, the where the running back is on your left or on your right, and you're running it to the opposite side, right? So you're handing it off, and you're getting a double team front side. It's just a zone play, and the quarterback is holding off the back side, right, because he can pull it and run with it. So they run a bunch of those because that's one of the staples that they run. And they had a little counter off of it where everybody lets the defense flow and then circles them. And the running back takes like a step or two to the right. He's on the left-hand side and lets all that flow happen. And then he takes it out around the edge. And, you basically get a bunch of unblocked dudes, right? Everybody's flowing that way because you've run it enough times and they've seen it enough times. And so it's just a counter play. And there's very few plays you have that go to the front side when you're set on the side of the quarterback, right? That usually goes to the opposite side. And so that, to me, was an unscouted, great design by Doug Peterson and his staff. And they got you. Like, they just got you. And so there was a couple of those counter type of plays. They got him on a wham later, but with our backups that wasn't played like DJ Jones played it in the first. So those adjunct plays, those plays that add up, that marry to what you do, they ran probably two or three whams. One of them broke for about 12 yards. They ran that one like little scissors play. The next time they ran it, the Broncos had seen it, they felt it, and they defended it for a 2-3 yard gain.
So based on what you saw on film,
you
came away what about the prospects of going up against Derrick Henry this week? Because Travis Etienne, 5'10", 215 pounds. Derrick Henry, 6'3", 250.
Yeah, Etienne is special, though. He's going to be a special back. Hey, Derrick Henry will get yards. Derrick Henry will have 100-plus yards if you play him the same way you played Etienne. If you're going to play in a lighter box and have your safeties, come from depth, you're going to give up some yards to him. I don't think the way they've played and the way they've dominated the front, you may give up 120 yards. But I don't think you're giving up 240, right? I don't think you're giving up 220. So, yeah, I still think you can give up 140 or 150 yards and still win a game.
Coming up, Mark will tell you why he has even more love for Nuggets coach Michael Malone. That's next.
It's Schlereth and Evans on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Last night, the Nuggets got a win on the road in Indy. But during the game, we saw something that has become, quite prevalent around the NBA. A fan got into it with, in this case, Michael Malone. And Michael Malone asked for the fan to be removed. And the fan was removed. And here's what Malone had to say about it.
He was just a little bit too aggressive and in my face. And I don't react kindly to that.
partner.
See, that's the kind of stuff right there at the end that your love for Michael Malone just went up a whole nother level, didn't it?
That's right. I would have liked to seen him. You know, I mean, you can't. If you're Michael Malone, you can't just, you know, throw gloves, right?
It's a fine throw line, hands. Though, because as a fan, it sure seems like fans more and more are taking the fact that, well, I paid a lot for this ticket. I should be able to do or say whatever I want, which clearly isn't the case.
Sure, that's part of a societal problem in general.
But there is still something to the idea that, especially when you're on the road, you should understand you might get the boo birds, you might get razzed a little bit, you might get heckled a little bit. So where do we find that line? Because I'd like to think that you could still, you know, yell at an opposing player and, hey, Jokic, you stink!
Yeah,
You're a bum!
There's all
hey,
that.
Hey, Shkalilareth!
Yeah, I love all that stuff. I think that stuff is great. And I think you bought the ticket, you can do that, and I would expect you to do it. But there are certain things that when you cross a line, I think we all know what the line is. When you cross that line, that's not when you are offensive to the people around you, when you are using filthy language or filthy terms, like that's not okay. You know, I had a game when my son was in the minors that I was at, and this group of probably four or five, you know, 25, 30-year-old guys, whatever they were, drinking in the stands. And, like, literally dog-cussing the players. They were there for the other team. It was a road game. And they were dog-cussing our players. And I was sitting in the family section, right? So I don't know any of the people there. I'm there by myself. But it was a group of wives. I could tell it was a group of wives that were supporting their husbands. And these guys were, like, they started off okay, and the more they drank, the worse it got, to the point then it crossed a line. And so I stood up and I walked up there and I said, that's the end of it. Otherwise, we're going to have an issue.
And this is you, 300-pound Mark Schlereth, right?
No, I was done playing, but I'm still yoked, Mike, and I'm still frightening.
You are. I'll give you
so
that.
So I just was like completely inappropriate. And if I hear another, like if I hit, will throw down, like that's, I was upset because I could see how upset the wives were. Like it was, but when you get to that point, you think you have that level of freedom.
Mm-hmm.
So part of the problem is in today's age, there's no consequences. And I developed I went up and essentially threatened them with a consequence. Do it again. And, you know, and we'll throw down. Like I will not put up with this. And so you have to be able to understand that there are certain things. And that's, you know, with social media has desensitized us to the point where we think we can say anything to anybody that we want on a keyboard.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not how life works. Especially when you and I were growing up, you knew if you stepped the line, you're going to get your ass beat. there was a difference, right? And so like that, those are things that, in those scenarios. Matter of fact, those guys came down and apologized to the wives later.
Good.
They came down and apologized to the wives. You know, offered to buy me a beer. I was like, nah, I'm good. You know, and I told them, I appreciate you guys, but you got to understand, there are families here. There are kids here. These are their fathers. These guys work their butts off to try to.
And if it's like that, then absolutely.
Right.
I want those fans kicked out. But I also hope that we haven't gotten to the point where, as a fan, you can't heckle.
No, you see, there's the other thing.
That should still be allowed.
Like, you can't get to be as a player. And here's another issue.
Exactly.
Here's another issue I have. As a player, like, you put yourself out there, you are not immune to criticism.
Right.
Like, that's part of being a professional athlete, is that you've got to take some of that stuff. And that's part of what you get paid a lot of money. You know, you get paid a lot of money to do this, and you are kind of quote unquote a public trust, and people have the right to heckle or to criticize or to do whatever it is that you do, to a point. There's a fine line there. And so players, you can't be so sensitive either, that, you know, that you, like, you're trying to go after people every time they criticize.
So I think it's as simple as this. If it's to the point where a fan or fans are saying the kind of things that literally you can see the people around them are like, ooh, and you know that the people around them are going to applaud when this guy gets tossed.
Yeah.
Then I'm all for that. But if it's one of those things where the heckling is, I guess, within bounds enough that if the player or the coach says, hey, I want this guy out of here, and they toss him, and the people around him are sitting going, whoa, 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 he didn't do anything wrong.
Yeah.
That to me is where I'd like to see the bar set.
Sure.
And if it's to the point where even the people around him are like, hey, get rid of this bozo. He's making the whole experience as a fan for me unenjoyable, then get him tossed. So I guess that was the case. It sounds like that was the case with Malone, so good for him. One thing I want to get to before we leave. You know, Russell Wilson has come under a lot of heat for a lot of things, and some of the things he's said and done, he deserves the ribbing, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But I thought it was really cool yesterday. Yesterday was his late father's birthday, and he talked about the impact that his dad had on him. And I think for all of us who have dads, who have had dads, maybe we've lost our dads recently, we are dads ourselves. I don't know. I wanted to play it because, to me, it kind of hit home. So here's what Russ had to say about the impact his dad had on him as he looked back on his dad on what was his birthday.
I was fortunate to have a dad that was raised me, challenged me, pushed me, taught me, read to me, asked me questions, gave me a vision. My mom, too, as well, both of them. You know, a dad that would work late nights just to make sure that I could have a chance to be here today. You know, a guy who, you know, in his toughest days when, you know, and he had diabetes and his leg amputated, you know, he snuck out of the hospital just to see me play. Hopped on a Greyhound and drove all the way to NC State, UNC football game just to see me play another time. So, you know, I had a dad that showed tremendous courage and, you know, never blinked in the midst of storms. And, you know, so for me, you know, I'm grateful every day that, you know, I get to call him my dad.
Oh, that was cool.
Yeah.
I mean, that's clearly a dad who made a huge impact on his son. And I think that we probably all have thoughts of our own dads that pop up like that. And we also probably hope that we as dads are doing those kind of things. So I thought that was cool.
I think it is cool. And I've had those conversations with Russell a bunch of times when I've met with him just about the impact of his father. And like those things are like, those are the moments where there's real authenticity and you know, and vulnerability that you really love with Russ. And that's 100%, like that's 100% from the heart and talking about, you know, being a winner and your preparation and the way you go about your business. All those things were ingrained in Russell through his upbringing, through his mother and father. And so I think all that stuff is great.
And it's just a reminder, not that we need it, but it's just a reminder that as dads, just the responsibility that we do carry and the impact that we do make that maybe sometimes we aren't sure if it's being made, but it is being made, you know? Our kids are paying attention.
They are paying attention. As much as they like to act like they're not,
right.
They do see.
Yes.
They do see it.
So I thought that was cool.
That is good. That's
and
really
I wanted
good.
I wanted to share that with everyone in case you hadn't heard it.
Good job, Russell.
We are done. Thank you so much. Mark, safe travels to
Thank
Pittsburgh
you.
Tonight.
Yeah.
And you'll be checking in with us tomorrow morning doing the show from Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. Three Rivers. Looking
yes.
forward to that.
Well, can you name them?
No. The Allegheny.
Allegheny.
The Ohio. And then there's one that is
the Mahogalagani. Something like that.
Something like that.
I'm close.
Right? It's the Ohio, the Allegheny.
Yeah. And the Mahogalagani. Yeah. Mahogalagani.
Nailed it. Players Club next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.